and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp, who I suspect has recovered from that shocking exit of the St. Louis Blues from the Stanley Cup playoffs. As a result of losing to Chicago, Mickey, what's your position right now? Anybody but Chicago for the Cup?
No, I think Chicago's favored for the Cup. I said before this series started that whoever won it was going to play for the Cup, and I still think that is going to occur.
And who are you? Are you cheering for Chicago? They knocked out your Blues. You can't be backing the Blackhawks, can you?
Well, I don't really care. I just like hockey. Once my team goes out, I become a neutral observer.
Okay. Well, as you know, I'm a Rangers fan. So if you want to jump over the fence and join me for the rest of the run for the Cup, feel free to do so. Okay.
Well, I might do that. Who knows?
Okay. Well, with this show, Mickey, we're going to be kicking off a special series on carbon. We're going to start with a broad general overview, then focus on the different forms of carbon out there and their uses. And we're going to be talking about this for the next couple of months. You've got some good topics lined up.
Well, the way I envision it, Rob, is we'll do a general overview of carbon, which is absolutely one of the most important elements in the Earth. And on the Earth and above the Earth. And then we'll go into various forms, and I envision about a five-part series here.
Okay, well, let's kick it off, Mickey, with the broad-brushed overview and start at ground zero. Carbon, the 15th most abundant element in the Earth's crust, the fourth most abundant element by mass in the universe. Take it away from there. What else did you find out?
Well, it's a nonmetal. It forms covalent chemical bonds, and these carbon-carbon bonds are very important. It's one of the few elements that can form bonds with itself, and in the case of carbon, it can form very long chains. There are several allotropes, and an allotrope is a form in which it occurs. Graphite, diamond, amorphous carbon, we commonly know that as charcoal. And then in 1985, there was a Nobel Chemistry Prize won for new discoveries of rather obscure allotrope nicknamed fullerenes and buckyballs after Buckminster Fuller, because they have the form of geodesic dome. And if you're in my generation, Buckminster Fuller was a really important scientist of the 20th century. Occurs as a solid, never in a liquid state. It sublimates at the highest temperature known of any element at 3,642 degrees C. Three isotopes, two of which are stable. Carbon-12, basically 99% of carbon. Carbon-13, 1%. And then there's radioactive carbon-14. And people will probably be aware that that this is used for age dating, a very short term, less than 40,000 years. But it's given us a very interesting idea of what happened in early human history.
Yeah. I've read that the amount of carbon is constant. Can you and there's a carbon cycle. So can you kind of explain how that works?
Well, yes. The Earth is basically not adding any more carbon, and elements are not converted into other elements except in nuclear reactions. Mm-hmm. So, as with most elements, they're relatively constant. For instance, we have the same amount of water on the planet, with a little bit of exception, and we'll get into that later. But the carbon cycle is basically the cycle of life, where carbon is converted to CO2 by plants in photosynthesis, and they transpire oxygen, and animals breathe in oxygen and mm-hmm. breathe out CO2.
Okay. You mentioned diamonds earlier. In the research that I found, Mickey, there was a French scientist in the 1770s. Him and a bunch of other scientists got together. They purchased a diamond, put it in a closed glass jar. Then they went out and got this giant magnifying glass. They focused the sun's rays through that magnifying glass, and they saw the diamond burn and disappear. Do you know this story?
Yes, I do. And they were yes, and that's when they realized it was carbon. So we've known about carbon since antiquity. Earliest civilizations recognized it as charcoal and soot. Diamonds have been known since 2500 BC. In 1772, you're talking about diamonds first realized to be carbon. At that time, it was realized that iron could be combined with carbon to make steel. Mm-hmm. In 1779, graphite was realized to be relatively pure carbon. And then we talked about the aforementioned fullerenes in the 1985 Nobel Chemistry Prize.
Yes. Now, earlier you talked, Mickey, about the amount of water on the Earth. It's fairly constant, just like carbon is. And you said that we would get a little bit further, deeper into that aspect of the story. So you want to pick it up from there?
Sure. Well, there's a group of asteroids and the products from those, meteors and meteorites, and they're called carbonaceous chondrites, and they're quite interesting. They are thought to be the source of all the water on the planet, and we know now that the Earth, which is 4.5 plus billion years old, by 4.2 billion years, it was a water planet. It was covered, the surface was covered with water, and the source of that were the asteroids and meteorites, which combined together, and gravity took over, and we basically coagulated the Earth, and the source of both carbon and water on the planet are these carbonaceous chondrites. Interestingly enough, we have also found that they have significant amounts of amino acids in them, and this leads on to this idea which has developed over the last few years, that after the Big Bang, that 20% of the carbon in the world exists, or in the world, pardon me, 20% of the carbon in the universe existed as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and they are thought to be the starting materials for life, and they permeate the universe, and they are spread around by stellar dust from supernova explosions, so associated with new stars and planets. So the current idea is that life will permeate the universe, and it is essentially out as stellar dust. And I mean, to use an analogy, it's kind of like spores traveling around.
Without carbon, life as we know it would not exist, would it?
And you talk, it would not as we know it. Now, we've talked previously that silicon might be a source of some forms of life which we might not even recognize as life, but carbon is the chemical basis, along with hydrogen and oxygen, of all life. You and I are 18.5% carbon, Rob.
Yep.
Second after oxygen in the body and its mass.
Yes, I came across that factoid as well. And what have I got here in front of me? If you weigh 100 pounds, you're carrying about 18 pounds of carbon, apparently.
Well, so. I don't know very many of us that weigh 100 pounds, especially in these days.
Okay, well, that's a simple way of breaking down the percentage, 18%, okay?
How about, let's go, I weigh 150 pounds, so that means I'm about 27 and 28 pounds of carbon.
Okay, have we mentioned hydrocarbons? I mean, that's a huge
really got into that, Rob, so I think you've led me into the next discussion here, and that's how carbon occurs in the Earth. And there are four main sources of carbon. We have CO2, which is a very minor component of the atmosphere, and no matter what the global warmers will tell you, the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is much, much lower than it has been for nearly all of Earth history, and it's also dissolved in water, so that's one source. We have hydrocarbons, which would include coal, petroleum, natural gas, and those are based on methane, a carbon central atom with four hydrogens stuck on in quadrants around it. We also have methane hydrides, which is essentially hydrated methane that is frozen in the polar regions and on the seafloor and bottoms of cold seas in the Arctic and the Antarctic.
Right,
and
that's
finally, we have a very large budget of inorganic carbon, but derived from organic sources, and that would be the limestones and the dolostones, which are are the most abundant sedimentary rocks on the planet. And we've talked previously when we did calcium that limestone is the most used rock product on the planet. And I actually have a cable TV pilot being marketed right now on that very subject about limestone, the building blocks of civilization.
Do you want to expand a little bit further on that shameless plug, Mickey?
Well, it's called The Human Rock,
and
I am one of the main characters. There's a host, and I am a sub-host in this pilot, and we did this about 2 years ago in Albuquerque, and it's took I think it took the guy a year and a half to get it out of post-production. It's being marketed, and it basically explores the intimate interaction of humans in their rock environment. And the first show we did, and it was my idea from the start till nearly the finish, and we did limestone. So and we have a limestone plant here in Albuquerque, and cements, as we've discussed before, is the building blocks of all civilization since before the Romans. Byzantine Empire, I think, was the ones that invented cement.
Okay, well, maybe we should wrap it up on that note, Mickey, unless you had something else to add. And we should also, I think, use this opportunity to tee up the next program. What do you want to focus on then? Which sides of the story?
Well, I think we'll skip right over to the thing that will attract people's interest first, and that would be diamonds. You know, they are a girl's best friend, and so hopefully we'll get the female listeners in our audience peaked up to listen to that interview.
Okay, sounds good, Mickey, and we'll do that interview in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.